You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday and welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers. Tonight, the Pacers take on a new opponent for the first time this year, currently slated to make the playoffs in the West, the Sacramento Kings. And here to talk about all things Kings, ahead of Pacers Kings, is Tim Maxwell, a staff writer for Sactown Royalty, SB Nation's Sebastian Rowan Kings site. Tim, how's it going, man?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am also doing great. I am very excited to watch the Kings because they have my favorite college basketball player of all time, Yogi Ferrell.
He's a good little player.
He is a good player. Does he play anymore for the Kings now that Fox is back, or is he out of the rotation then?
He's pretty much out of the rotation. He'll get spot minutes here and there, especially if Joseph is maybe struggling. I mean, Fox has only been back for one game, and I don't think Yogi really played that game. So he's definitely the third string point guard on the team. So if anything, it's just going to be the occasional minutes.
It's a shame because I love Yogi, and I believe in him and want him to play all the minutes for all the teams. But I also love Corey Joseph and want him to play all the minutes for all the teams. So I'm torn between which one of them I want to play minutes. But I also love De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, I was going to say, you want us to bench De'Aaron Fox. Is what it
if he was
like.
Hurt, it would have been perfect for me. But yeah. I'm glad he's back. De'Aaron Fox was great for me last season because I've had this long-running theory in my head that good point guard play is like the most important thing to take a team from bad to good. Like
for
the
sure.
Suns are showing it this year and the Kings showed it last year. And I was really happy for the Kings because finally, you know, after Rondo and every other crap guy for a decade
years.
And a half,
yeah,
they finally got a good one and they were good. And then he got hurt. Yeah. It was a huge bummer.
Yeah, and we had Isaiah Thomas for a couple of years and then we traded him away for nothing. So, you know, just how the Kings operate.
That made me sad. The poor Kings. Yeah. Are they going to trade Bogdanovich for nothing? Is that what's going to end up happening?
You know, we don't think so. It would take a nice offer from somebody. Like, the Kings won't dump him for financial reasons, at least we hope not. I've pretty much done the work, and as long as he doesn't get a crazy offer this summer, we can pay everybody and avoid the tax, which
there
is pretty much the goal. If there was a player like a Miles Turner type available, then maybe we'd talk, but nothing, just not for picks or for a decent.
All right, that is the end of this podcast, folks.
There you go. You fired me.
All right, let's talk about basketball now. And I want to start with Fox, actually. I know he's only played one game since his injury, so maybe this is that's a bad evaluation point. But in general, now he's in year three. He was really good last year. How's he looked when he's been healthy this year?
He's looked the same. I think probably more than any other player, except maybe with the exception of Marvin Bagley, he's had to adjust more because Luke Walton has the Kings playing at the slowest pace in the NBA, and it's not close. So you look at Dave Yeager's stint last year where he had them playing at like an NBA record pace nearly. That's been a big adjustment for De'Aaron, but I think it's been good for his development as well just to have him actually be forced to run plays in half court. And they've started to run him a lot in the pick and roll. And he's looking good. I think he's going to be, you know, he's one of those up-and-coming point guards with Trae Young and Ja out in Memphis and Luka and several other guys that look like they're going to be the future leaders of the league for sure.
Yeah, he's awesome. I was so worried after his rookie year that he was going to be nothing, and he was just.
We all were.
Yeah, I guess not as worried as you. Yeah, yeah. It just, you know, he's like shifty and the lefty, and it's just fun, man. He's just so fun, and that's something I wanted to ask you about later. But you know, you already mentioned it, so I'll bring it up now. Do you put the whole pace change on coaching? Because it is wild to me to go from literally first to last in one year with almost the same roster.
Yeah, and it's odd because Walton always had fast teams in L.A. I mean, otherwise, not counting LeBron's single season because LeBron changes everything about a team, but his 2 years in L.A. without LeBron, they were, you know, towards the top of the league in pace, if not at the top, towards the top of the league in three-point shooter, which the Kings still are. One thing Walton did talk about in preseason was he wanted to build a real half-court offense, unlike previous coaches where they just didn't bother with that for whatever reasons, including Dave Yeager. And that is a legitimate criticism of Dave Yeager, even though I enjoyed his tenure. So what we're all hoping and praying is that he builds the half court offense. And then throughout the year, he kicks up the pace to take advantage of De'Aaron Fox. And even Buddy Hield is one of the fastest players in the NBA. So that's the hope. If he doesn't turn up the pace, then I think we're missing an element of Fox that is one of his best assets for sure.
I think that the pace last year really hurt the Pacers. You know, they're both fueled by big men and aren't particularly fast outside of Oladipo, who missed one of the Kings games last year, if I recall, in Sacramento.
Yeah.
But the slow pace this year, now that the Pacers run the two-center lineup and they have methodical kind of play style with Brogdon out there, and their bench is pretty quick, but they're just a slower, more well-thought-out, every-possession kind of team. I think the slow pace really plays into their hands, and that's why I stare at the Kings and their 18th-ranked defense, which is fine. But I think, you know, the Pacers really taking their time against a team that's going to play slow and let you play a lot of half-court possessions will play into the Pacers' hands this game.
I think so too, and we even saw it in preseason, that two-center lineup.
Yeah.
I know it was in India, but that two-center lineup killed the Kings because we don't really have a lot of bulk. And I know
which is hilarious because I feel like you guys have so many centers.
We have a billion centers. Dwayne Dedmon forgot how to play basketball over the summer. I was the number one proponent of Dwayne Dedmon signing in Sacramento. Like, before we signed him, I wrote a 3,500-word article on why we should basically sign Dwayne Dedmon. And then he's been terrible. So he's shooting like 22% from three and has the highest turnover rate in the NBA.
Oof.
So he's out of the rotation completely, even though he was the biggest dollar signing of the season, of the offseason. Right. But we have Ilica, who's played well. We have Bagley, who just returned from injury as well. And then we have Rashawn Holmes, who's been a godsend for us. He's probably been our most consistent and best player to this point.
About Rashawn Holmes on Monday. Our Monday show, we talk about every team the Pacers play this week. I said nice things about his second or third best in league shooting percentage.
Yeah, he's efficient. He plays within himself. You know, he's one of those guys that understands he's there to protect the rim, rebound, hit little push shots, layups, dunks, lobs, and he's happy with that role. And that's such a huge thing, is when role players know their role and accept their role, that can really help your stars play well, which is what Rashawn has been doing for the Kings for sure.
Yeah.
But I do think we will struggle with that two center lineup that you guys killed us on the glass all preseason. I think that's going to happen again tomorrow night for sure.
Yeah, and the four, whoever plays four for the Kings, right, whether it be Barnes, even though that doesn't really happen, or Bielica or Bagley or whoever, those guys are all good. But the way I think, at least my read from two games in India, this could be wrong, is that they have more of a floor game and they're perimeter minded, right? So they're not really banging inside as much with centers.
Yeah, and Bagley will bang in the inside on offense. He'll draw fouls for sure, but yeah, on defense he's not strong. He doesn't have a good base on defense. He's just frankly not a very good defender. And then Holmes is, and then like you said, Bielica is definitely more perimeter based. He's slow footed on defense. He's actually a decent shot blocker, surprisingly, but he's not going to get down and bang with both those guys, which I'm a little terrified of. I think we could even see some Dedmon minutes just because we need a big body. I wouldn't be shocked if we saw that.
Dedmon was okay in India. I'm surprised he's not playing at all.
Yeah, in Atlanta he was great. I mean, he averaged like 37% from three over the last couple seasons. You know, he was just an elevated role player in Atlanta, and then he's just fallen apart, and no one knows why. It's just the weirdest thing. He can't hit shots, and he's just always been a good shooter. He turns the ball over. He's not rebounding. And it's not one of those things where, you know, sometimes you fear a guy gets paid, he stops trying. He's trying really hard and just failing even harder. So it's been tough to watch.
That wasn't supposed to be funny, but it was.
That's life as a Kings fan. I mean, you just got to laugh at some of the player idiot. It's been 14 years since the playoffs. We just laugh at it now.
Has it really been that long?
Well,
who was the starting point guard for the Kings the last time they made the playoffs?
Mike Bibby.
Wow. He's now coaching basketball.
Yeah, he now coaches in Phoenix, actually, where I live. So.
Oh, that's convenient.
Yeah, last time we made the playoffs, I'm pretty sure this is accurate, it'll be 2004-05.
So that was the Bobby Jackson backup point guard team?
Yeah, that was, I think we still had Miller, and we had Meta World Peace.
Former Pacers All-Star Brad Miller.
That's right. That's right.
That's such a random thing about
the Yeah, and didn't Miller play for Team USA?
I think he did one year, yeah.
Yeah,
I actually, you know why I know that? This is stupid. I was looking for pictures of Brad Miller from Ligeti to like do an article about him being an all-star for the Pacers one time, and I saw a picture of him in a Team USA jersey. I was like, no,
yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, Bibby made Team USA, and then Miller made it one year. Weber never made it. So, and then obviously Cousins made it. So,
yeah, well, Boogie was very good. So that makes sense.
Yeah. before the injuries.
I got to give Bialica credit. I had DeAndre Ayton on my fantasy team, and obviously I've been limping with some suspensions. Yeah, Bialica, sure. Really, I scooped up Bialica. He's been a great help for me in the front court this year.
Yeah, he's a good player. He's one of those – Vlade picked him up a couple of years ago in the summer. He signed with Philly, and then his – this is kind of the story that came out. His wife was like, I don't want to go to Philly, and she hated Minnesota. And he was actually going to go back to Europe, and he's Serbian. Obviously, Vlade's Serbian, so Vlade got on the phone with him, convinced him to come to SAC, and he's been really good for us. He's just – he probably shot 43-44% from three last year, and he just bombs from deep. I mean, from 6-7 feet beyond the line all the time. He's just a good little player. Tries hard every game.
Does he start, or does he just get
back? He's been starting. He wasn't projected to start. Bagley started game one and then broke his thumb. So Bielitz has been starting since, and then Bagley's been back for four games now but has continued to come off the bench. So
okay. At
some point I expect Bagley to move into the starting lineup, but we know that Walton's hesitant to use Bagley and Holmes together because neither one stretches the floor. Originally it was supposed to be Deadman and Bagley, and again, I've said Deadman has fallen apart 60 times already in this podcast. So
that is unfortunate. That is very unfortunate. So what's the vibe around the Kings right now? Because they're 12-15, but they lost their first five games, right? So they're 12-10 since like November started, I think, is what I was checking up before this. So that's fine. You know, that's pretty good. The back of the West isn't great. You know, what's the vibe around the Kings right now? Are people excited or kind of frustrated? Yeah,
I think it's hopeful. I mean, we keep losing to terrible teams and beating good teams. Like it's one of those teams that plays their competition. So we lost to the Bulls. We blew a game to the Spurs really badly. We've lost to the Hornets twice badly, but then we've beaten the Mavericks at full health, the Rockets at full health. We beat the Thunder. Like, it's just this weird group of guys. And then we've had, you know, Bagley's missed all but five games of the season. Fox has missed more than half the season. Bogdan Bogdanovic, who's kind of our best bench player, our best overall, like, most well-rounded player, he missed several games with a hamstring injury. So we're feeling good. Like, 12-15 isn't a great record, but I looked it up the other day because I'm depressed and being a Kings fan, and that's like the third best start since the playoff drought began through 27 games. So, you know,
good.
That's better, right? Better is something. I think the Kings have a shot at the playoffs. Will they make it? Who knows? I think they need to trade for a slight talent upgrade, maybe off the bench, especially like Trevor Ariza coming off the bench isn't a joy to watch. Yeah, I think we've got a shot. We're hopeful. Feels like Indiana, you guys kind of got off to a slow start too, right?
Yeah, 0-3. Yeah. Yep. I remember looking around at one point being like, man, I wonder, you know, a lot of old teams, I know Jimmy Butler and Draymond have had quotes on this, but they said their overseas trip affected them when the season started.
Yeah.
So when both the Kings and Pacers were like, I think at the same time, the Kings were 0-4 and the Pacers were 0-3, you know, I kind of did the, I wonder if this is a thing.
Yeah, some validity to that. That makes sense.
But both teams have recovered nicely. So
yeah.
Thankfully, not a headline we have to talk about here. Okay, next question about the Kings. That was the worst transition I've ever done as a host of the time. What matchups do you think they look to exploit against the Pacers? Because on paper, I have one that I think will work well for them, but I want to hear what you think.
So who's your starting three? Is it?
It is TJ Warren.
TJ Warren, okay.
Buzzer beater against you in India, TJ Warren.
Yeah, I love TJ Warren. I have an unhealthy love for TJ Warren. I always have since for your listeners that don't know, I live in Phoenix. He obviously played for the Suns for a long time, and I always wanted the Kings to get Warren. And I was really upset when the Pacers traded for him and got a pick.
Yeah, they didn't trade for him. They got him.
They basically signed him. They were granted him, basically.
Yes.
And I was very upset because then we went and gave Trevor Ariza the same money with no number 32 pick. Anyway, that's my rant on TJ Warren. Warren's gotten better on defense. I think Barnes can exploit him in the post a little bit, although Warren's strong.
Probably.
And then I think Fox is going to be our key to the game. He had 19-8 in his returning game, and he's the catalyst to our offense, where if he's playing aggressive, then the Kings play well. When he's passive, we don't do particularly well. And then if Bogdanovic can come off the bench and put in 14-5, which is about his average, I think that'll be good for us too. Is that lining up with what you were thinking?
Fox was mine because, yeah. Well, duh, he's good. So
yeah.
Yes, the Kings will say, hey, good player, go score. But particularly Brogdon, you know, has obviously been awesome this year, all-star candidate, all this stuff, you know, big story about him, blah, blah, blah. But the thing that I think I didn't know about him as well as I should have from his past stops is he is a good defender, but he struggles with quick guards. And De'Aaron Fox is the quick guard. He's not fast. He is like the quick
guy. Fastest. Yeah.
So I thought when I was, you know, looking at the Kings, like, man, I really wonder what they're going to do with Fox, because he can probably just skate by Brogdon without a screen. Because if there is a screen, you know, that's what makes Turner so good, right? He's the best drop coverage guy in the league, or one of them, but the Kings won't need it. And that's why I think it could be a little hard, especially if Walton is doing some fancy fun off-ball stuff this year, as if Fox can get by Brogdon pretty easily.
Yeah, and the tricky part about the Kings as an opponent is when you've got a Fox either just hitting the lane hard or running the pick and roll with Holmes, is you've got 40% or better shooters surrounding him. So you got Buddy Hield, one of the best
money
volume 3-point shooters in the NBA. Harrison Barnes shoots better than 40%, although I think he's a little down this year. And then you got Bielitsa, who's 43-44%. So that was the design of the team. And in fact, again, going back to Dedmon, he was a 38% shooter, but we'll forget about him for now. So yeah, I think Fox driving, whether that's a Holmes pick and trying to get Turner to drop and then open up the lane for Fox, or throw the lob to Holmes, or if people, more than one person collapses, kicking out shooters, that's the basic operation of our offense. And then occasionally switching to Barnes in the post when we need a bit of an isolation scoring. It's going to be interesting to see if Bagley starts for us. He's not the most flexible guy when it comes to his role. So he already talks about wanting to start. So it'll be interesting to see when the Kings cave, and if they do, what that lineup will look like. He's a good scorer, but he takes away from the half-court offense a lot. It's an interesting dynamic.
Just like zoomed out for this particular game, I think I'd want to buy Bielitsa if I was the Kings. Just like
I would too.
Making Sabonis stretch out a bit seems like what you would want, especially given what we just talked about Fox. But I understand getting your young guy minutes, you know, that always makes sense. So, yeah, there's validity to both. Are they trying to win this exact game? If so, they should probably start by Bielitsa. So.
Yeah, and that's going to be the case for most of the year, frankly. Even though Bagley's probably the more naturally talented player, Bielitsa just fits better within the starting offense, which is why Bagley's pick was such a head scratcher. And
I like Bagley. Obviously, picking him ahead of Luka is, I won't make you go into that, but I like Bagley. Like, Bagley's good in these little crevices and stuff that a lot of big guys aren't.
I think Bagley's going to be an all-star. So, and I think sometimes people conflate, not saying you necessarily do this, but people conflate concerns with like hate or doubt. And like, I think Bagley's a future all-star potential. He's just, he's good at the things that are, like you said, he's good in the little crevices, he's good in these little areas. But the bigger concerns like defense and floor spacing and passing are his weaknesses. So he has 3 assists this entire season. He has the low. I think Tony Zapteris, is one of our writers, pulled this the other day. He has the lowest assist to usage ratio in the NBA. He's only played 5 games too, but that was a concern last year at Duke. So that's probably his biggest area of weakness, is just he's a black hole once he gets the ball in the post.
Yeah. All right, we've gone far enough for me to not do this. We just had a discussion at the Fieldhouse, the Pacers blog that we started this season, about our favorite role players of the last decade, because everybody did their decade thing. And I picked Corey Joseph. And I was, obviously, I understand when you get Brogdon and McConnell and you have Aaron Holiday stepping up, you can let him go. Makes total sense to me. Still sad to see him go. How's he doing for your Kings?
He's been really good. We paid him a lot of money.
You
paid
him
a lot of money. But we always talk about there's a Sacramento tax. You know, you're going to have to overpay guys to get here, to come here, even if the team looks decent. And we didn't have any cap space anyway, so I'm not really too worried about it. He's been really good for us. He actually stepped up pretty well in Fox's absence. He's, as I'm sure any Pacers fan is familiar with, he's not a scorer. So. Nope. And he's shooting and scoring the lowest amount of his career, but we're also playing him in a backup role, fewer minutes than he did in Indiana. But he's been excellent on defense, especially once Fox went out. He really stepped up. I was really excited about his acquisition. In the summer, I looked at the Pacers on-off defensive rating with Joseph, and it was something like a 7-point differential or something insane like that. I don't remember exactly what it was. And he, I mean, he back-to-back games, he shut down Harden, he took on Luka, he stopped Luka on a final game winner, although he may or may not have fouled him and it didn't get called. We won't talk about that. But he's been excellent for us. He's a really good super role player. You don't want him as your main facilitator. I think that's too much for his skill set on offense. But what we hope in Sacramento is that his defensive tenacity unlocks Fox's defensive tenacity, because Fox is a naturally gifted defender. He just fades a lot where he takes plays off and just doesn't really do much. Whereas Joseph, as again, you know, every play he's in the guy's face, up in his grill, pressuring the ball, pressuring man, sliding under picks or over picks, whatever he needs to do to get the coverage right. So we're hoping Fox really gets influenced by his defensive abilities. We're happy with him.
Yes, he's the hardest player to explain to people, because he's like the best version of a point guard who is bad with the ball. Like, that doesn't make any sense because they're a point guard. But he's just, and I see he hasn't missed a free throw this year. That's kind of funny.
And his box scores aren't great, right? He's going to get like
they never are.
8 points, 3 rebounds, and 6 assists as a starter. And then, you know, it's just a part of.
But the Kings outscore the other team by like 12 in those whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's a part of casual fandom, is guys are like, oh, he's only scoring 8 points and getting 4 assists. He sucks. And like, well, there's a whole nother side to the court. Yeah. So you got to pay attention to both sides.
I'm such a fan of him. But he's really, and I want to ask you this too. I envision him more as an off-ball guard, and that he can play with a point guard. Have they played him with Fox very much when those two are both healthy?
A little bit. And then we have Bogdan, which
obviously Buddy and Bogdan makes it harder.
Yeah. And Bogdan can run the point. So a lot of the time when Bogdan and Corey are sharing the court, Corey will guard the opposing point guard, assuming he's the better player. Okay. And then Bogdan will kind of run the offense because he's pretty good in the pick and roll. So that's kind of how they balance that. Obviously when Fox was out, he was starting with Buddy, who's also not a playmaker. So he, and Barnes, who's not a play. The Kings don't have any playmakers in their starting lineup. Really. That's one of the, one of the big concerns. Bielitsa is a little bit of a playmaker. He can pass, but it was really all on Joseph to initiate the offense, which again is not his skill set. So once he moves back to the bench next to Bogdan, or sometimes playing with Fox, or playing with both and running a 3 to 4 guard lineup, that's when he's best utilized for sure.
I agree. He's my man. I'm happy that he is still in rotation. He's made the playoffs every year of his career, so you can
pencil we'll try not to break it.
Seed because of him.
There we go, or even 7th seed. Let's do it.
Oh. Are you close to Thunder? I haven't even looked at the standings for the
West. Yeah, we're a game behind, I think.
Okay.
I want to say.
They've had like a ridiculous week where they came back from 26 down and 24 down or something.
Yeah, and our game with them was close. I think it was a 1-point victory, right? I can't remember. I got young kids. I don't get enough sleep, so I don't remember anything.
All right, now I have to do the flip side of an earlier question. What matchup do you think the Kings will be exploited by the most in this
game? I'm terrified of your big men.
Yes,
we're gonna get killed on the offensive glass. Just ooh. Destroyed.
I don't know about that.
Holmes is a decent defensive rebounder, but Bielitsa is okay.
Turner is position. Not a good rebounder. He's also far true. From the basket a lot.
Yeah, but Sabonis is a good rebounder.
He's a great rebounder.
Yeah, he just put up a 20 rebound game recently, right?
He sure did.
So
yeah, that was never mind. That game was so everybody missed every shot. Like, 20 rebounds is awesome, but like the whole just nothing went in. Go on.
You'd rather the shots go in, obviously,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
those matchups scare me a little bit. TJ Warren's a good little scorer.
Yes.
And not little. He's a pretty large human being. But and then how's your bench looking this year?
Early in the year, it was pretty bad. Yeah. And then it got really good for like 3 weeks. And now probably 4 of every 5 games, it's really good. And then the 1 of 5, it's not. And they have to find a way to cobble together 5 guys. But they're getting good play from Aaron Holiday now. And now they have point guard play all the time. So they're just crushing guys. But that's
what's the matchup you're excited about from your side?
TJ Warren being guarded by Harry B. Not that... Okay, you know, I'll just say it. I think Harrison Barnes kind of stinks. I get why he got paid, and I get why Harrison Barnes is good, but I don't think Harrison Barnes is good, especially on defense, and I think TJ Warren's going to have no problem scoring on Harrison Barnes.
Harrison Barnes is an interesting player. So when he's put into a good role, which I think the Kings have him in right now, he's helpful. So like, he shoots threes, occasional post ISO. That's his role on offense, really. And then defense, he slips in and out. So he can defend well. I think he'll struggle a little bit with Warren because Warren's a bigger wing. And Harrison's not small by any means, but TJ's a pretty big dude. And he kind of fades in and out. And he can be a really strong defender, I think, especially in isolation as a team defender. I don't know if he's as good. And like you said, the reason he got paid from Sacramento is they didn't have another option. And if they had let him go to unrestricted free agency, then they had literally no small forwards, and they never have small forwards. TJ Warren, he can put up points in a heartbeat. Is his shooting? His shooting stayed pretty solid this year, right?
Terrible at the start and then amazing ever since. So
yeah.
Yes, it is remained as good as it was last year, which is just ridiculous. What a turnaround.
Yeah, because he was in the 20s his whole career, and then last season turned it into like the 40s, right? Or high 30s.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty high 40s. He only played half the year. So
that's right. Yeah.
You know, you had to put the asterisk on it, but and so far so good. He's actually been, you know, the thing with TJ Warren that everybody was scared of was, oh, he's hurt all the time. He's the only guy in the starting five who's played every game for the Pacers.
There you go. He's turned around.
Look at him. And I think he can get good shots on Barnes. I don't know why. I just can't explain it. Like, Barnes has the Jeremy Lamb-ism of, like, it never looks like they're trying because they make stuff look easy. And I know that's unfair to the player, but it just like, I can't describe why he gives me, like, the heebie-jeebies of, like, eh. I don't know.
Well, and he was so misused in Dallas, too, for so, like, they maxed him.
He is not a give-him-the-ball scorer.
Right. He's not a number one or number two or number three option on offense. If he's in that role, then you have messed up royally. With the Kings, he's the fourth or fifth option on offense. He can knock down the corner three, get the occasional mismatch in the post, and score. And he's a good cutter, actually. He's been really good for us, just cutting off the ball for us this year, which he didn't do last year. But I think we all have those players where we just don't particularly like them for whatever reason, and that's okay.
Yes, I'm sorry that I had to do this to you.
I'll let it slide.
All right, this last question is very... very lower tiered Kings player questions. I got two very easy
ones. All right.
One, Purdue is in Indiana, and Caleb Swanigan went there. Is he going to play a minute this year, and is he going to be out of the NBA at the end of the season?
Oh, he'll for sure be out of the NBA. I have no doubt. He doesn't seem to be in shape.
It's just bad.
Yeah.
I want him to be good because I love dudes from here, but he's not good.
Yeah, and like when the Kings got him, I was like, oh, I remember him in college. He was supposed to be good. Like, not great. Like, he wasn't supposed to be a star, but he was like an all-around good rebounder, like hustle guy. And then we traded Scala Bucier for him, who's actually playing well in Portland. And he came into summer league and he looked like he had been at the buffets a lot and hasn't trimmed down. So yeah, Caleb, I imagine, I would guess, he'll be cut or traded before the end of the season to open up a roster spot for the Kings. He doesn't have a future there.
He's in year three, so we can get another two-way next year. I think that's his only shot of perhaps grasping some sort of career because he's doing good.
No.
Man, that makes me sad, but I understand. The other one, of course, you know the Indy boy question is coming, don't you?
Go for it.
Kyle Guy. You like Kyle Guy?
I do like Kyle Guy. Is he an NBA player? We'll see.
He played for Tony Bennett, so the answer is yes, he is.
Yeah. I think his ceiling is like Seth Curry type.
That's probably right.
Player. Yeah. He's a shooting guard in a point guard's body. Like, he can't defend anyone on at the NBA level.
Probably not.
He's averaging a top four scorer in the G League for the Kings right now. For the Stockton Kings. He also takes like every shot that you can imagine. The other night he had like 26 points on 23 field goal attempts or something like that. So I think the Kings hope to mold him into just a bench scorer, almost like a Yogi Ferrell type player. You know, just comes in, guns a little bit, picks up a couple assists, get your point guard a rest. I am relatively optimistic about his. I'm way more optimistic about him than Caleb. So that's something, I guess.
Oh, I am too, by a mile.
Yeah.
He's from Indy. Yeah. Flanagan's not from Indianapolis. Kyle Guy is from Indy. So.
Yeah, I like Kyle Guy. He's fun. He's just fun to watch. He was fun to watch in Summer League. And he's just like, you can tell he has fun when he plays. And that just makes you root for a guy so much harder.
Yeah, I really hope he does well. Well, I hope everybody stood till the end to hear me gush about the boys from Indiana. The Kings also had my second favorite IU basketball player of all time last year, Troy Williams. But
yeah.
And I know
we liked him.
You did. Most NBA fans do not like Troy Williams.
Yeah, he. You know, I think it was maybe we were like desperate for wing play than anything else. Like he played hard. He didn't always play well, but he just he was like a crazy person out on the court.
His nicknames at IU were Good Troy and Bad Troy. Like you know, you just never got consistent play from him.
Yeah, and he'd knock down shots one game and then miss 11 in a row the next game and keep shooting. but he played hard. I'm trying to think if he's on the Stockton Kings this year. I don't know where he's at.
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing. I wonder where he is right now. Now I'm going to Google this while we're talking. Very riveting stuff going on right now. Oh, he's in Italy.
Oh, well.
Free my man, Troy.
Yeah.
Get him out of Italy, NBA teams. That's sad. That's a somber, sad ending to the show. Unless you have anything else you want to ask about the Pacers.
Are you predicting Pacers win?
I am predicting Pacers win. They just beat the Lakers. They're riding high.
Yeah, they're playing very well. I would also predict the Pacers win. So
you are predicting Pacers win?
Yeah. I mean, I think you guys are just a better team. So
I also think that. But they lost to Sacramento last year without Oladipo. I mean, they're better than that team, but still.
Yeah, and we got two guys coming back from injury. Barely played, so
well. The Pacers report actually popped up today, way longer than I thought it would be.
Yeah,
so that's your hope. I can't believe I haven't even said that yet. That it seems like relevant information for this show.
You know, just maybe.
Jeremy Lamb is questionable. I believe was one of the guys. Now I have to scroll back and find it. I remember Jeremy Lamb was on there for sure. Vic's out, of course. Yeah, Lamb's questionable. Warren's sick and questionable.
Oh, okay, so, that'd be good for us.
Yeah, that'd be huge for you guys. Doug McDermott would start.
Yeah, I'm okay with that from my perspective.
He's been good this year, but still. Yeah, I appreciate you coming on. Where can people follow you and all your stuff?
So they can follow me at TimMaxwell22, or if you just look up Sacktown Baby Giraffe, you can find me there. And then I'm currently writing for Sacktown Royalty. If you haven't heard, every California team had their contracts ended or will end. So you'll be hearing from us about a new endeavor relatively soon, hopefully. But for now, you can find me at Sacktown Royalty and then at Sacktown Baby Giraffe.
Sweet. Yes, a lot of good cynical Kings tweets come from Tim, which I enjoy.
And stats. I'm a stats guy, too.
And stats. Stizats. You got to love this.
But a lot of cynicism.
And a lot of cynicism. Thank you guys for tuning in. Of course, the Pacers play the Bucks tomorrow. They're going to lose. That's it. That's my analysis of the Bucks game. But we'll talk about the whole weekend on Monday for our weekly show. Thank you guys for tuning in, and have a great weekend.